And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
It is 12:01 according to my clock. So the Browns started practice about 30 minutes ago. They go about an hour 10 to an hour 20 on Fridays. And then shortly thereafter, as you probably know, is the injury designations, and then the coach addressing, he'll announce Joe Flacco as the starter. So anyway, welcome everybody. Thank you guys for popping in. This is our Civilized Barking podcast / live Friday Browns chat. So Flacco will be the starter. That's no surprise. Kevin Stefanski is who he is with these things. And also, guys, because the Jaguars have a quarterback question, he was going to not just come out and say it. So call it gamesmanship. I'm not sure that. No one in Jacksonville really thought the DTR was going to play. People in Jacksonville probably prayed the DTR was going to play, but it's always going to be Joe Flacco. So the big development from being out for our 10 minutes of practice viewing is Amari Cooper's out there. He's in the concussion protocol. He hasn't been seen. We assumed he would be out. So I don't want to play doctor. Him being out there is certainly a positive sign for him playing on Sunday. More guys later in the season around the league have cleared it in 1 week than have not. So other news items from the week, Denzel Ward will be back. DeJuan Jones was not on the practice field today. We don't know yet what the reason was. He had been out there previously, and that's big. Flacco's super impressive last week, not perfect, but a big part of it is the protection, and he just has no mobility, and the Browns got to keep him out of bad spots. So they need DeJuan Jones. So we'll find out. That'll be one of the things there. I think Marquise Goodwin is going to be back this week after 4 weeks in the concussion protocol. So in addition to just Goodwin being a good guy who's been through hell this year, and you hope he's okay, he can open things up. Flacco can launch the ball down the field. We knew that. We saw that. He can still do it. If I had $1 billion, I'd probably pay $230 million to just watch him throw in practice, because I was just doing that about 15 minutes ago. And I was laughing. News item, the Steelers are awful. They're not just bad or mediocre or up and down like many other teams in this league. They're a flat-out awful football team. They're still alive in the playoff race. And look, a lot is going to continue to change. You know, with these quarterback situations everywhere and teams playing each other, you just have to get to 10. And for the Browns, that's three more. They have three home games. The Jets, the Bears, and potentially C.J. Beathard. I mean, you just have to win those games, and you get there. So we will see how that goes, and we'll know a lot more in 2 weeks, or, 10 days, I guess, from now, on the playoff situation. But the Browns can stay way ahead of the traffic jam if they just win these two home games. Taylor Swift, Time Person of the Year. I know some of you guys thought it might be Quincy Avery, but Taylor Swift won it. We'll see. So anyway, Joe Flacco. He brings Elijah Moore to life. If Amari Cooper plays, that's a total game changer. Njoku will be more involved. The Marquise Goodwin factor becomes a factor. And we'll see. So you keep him out of trouble. You run the ball a little bit to do that, and we'll see. Jason asks, can this coach and QB stay disciplined enough to stick with the run game? Well, sure, it's got to work, And, this is a play-action offense, right? But can they stick with it? Yeah. Yeah, Jacksonville up until last week, I think, was number one or close to the top in DVOA run defense. It's been a pretty good Jacksonville defense. It can really, look, guys, the weather forecast has gotten better. Obviously, Amari Cooper and Marquise Goodwin, specifically Cooper, would really change the outlook. If the Browns can play efficient and score a number of points and just get a pretty good defensive effort, they win this game. I'm fully expecting it to be C.J. Beathard. If Lawrence plays, then he didn't really have a high ankle sprain. And again, I said I wouldn't play doctor, but I think that's fair to say. It has complicated the Browns' preparation. We heard Schwartz and players talk about preparing for Lawrence, preparing for a non-mobile Lawrence, preparing for Beathard, who's also been on their injury report. If you're a playoff team, you have to beat backup quarterbacks at home. And the Browns' defensive road home splits are very real. The defensive line has not been disruptive in the last two games, as disruptive as its standard has been set. But you have a chance to go do it. And it was always going to be this defense. And if you're going to get to 10 or even 11 wins, efficient offense with a mix of explosion, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, the pass interference penalty that, that Flacco brings back into play. And then you give this defense a lead and you let them go feast. So, we don't know what Miles is. I think it's a totally different vibe of Miles coming out and saying the injury is not an excuse rather than what we may have seen or heard from him in the past. But this defense is better with Miles and Ward. This defense is elite with Miles and Ward. And so you're going to get that back and you're going to have a chance, to win. So again, I see the Browns getting to 17 or 20 and the Jaguars not getting above 10. Unless you gift them short fields or things like that, or unless Trevor Lawrence is, a magical healer and comes out and rips it. But they also don't have Christian Kirk, and we'll see. I just think the tone of this has changed. I just think this went from a loss for the Browns and, oh, man, the last four are going to get really hairy to you win this. And if you win the next two, then your Christmas Eve game is a bonus game and not one you have to have necessarily for the playoffs. But we'll see how that works out. You guys aren't flying on Christmas Eve like I am. So the word is that Christmas Eve night game cannot be flexed for logistical and TV reasons. So it will stay Patriots-Broncos, and Browns-Texans will almost assuredly remain at 1 o'clock because there's already a 4:25 marquee game. I think it's Dolphins-Cowboys. So that's the outlook. You just win your three at home, you get in the playoffs, and you see if this defense can get back to being what it was. And doing that. So, Michael D, surely the key to a win is discipline, run, pass options, and keeping the Jags guessing, not shoot ourselves in the foot. Yeah, get out of their own way. Yeah, I think that's fair, right? You come out and you utilize the play action game. You extend the defense in ways you couldn't before. And you just drive the ball, run, play action, pass, the occasional deep shot. Them having to respect the deep shot should open things up in the run and the shorter pass. And if you win the turnover battle and you turn it over to your defense, specifically at home, what we've seen this year and what we know about the personnel that will be on the field for each team, or we're assuming, I'm assuming CJ Beathard, guys, if I'm wrong about that, obviously it changes, then the Browns should win. And Mark, I'm not saying pass interference is our third most productive receiver, but listen, there are no apologies if pass interference accounts for the plays, right? So, these are close. These are close games, and they're always decided by a few plays and a few factors. And going to last week, sometimes the butt cheek's in, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get the flag, sometimes you don't. I thought even last week there's a couple times that guys are, Browns defenders, are breaking on passes or coming down to make a tackle, and they're just like a split second too late. And that's not just last week. That's all the time. So, my favorite story from last week, as we're walking out in the tunnel and they drive cars, this specifically a Cadillac Escalade in the tunnel at SoFi for whatever reason. And Myles Garrett's walking about 10 feet in front of me and this Escalade pulls up next to him and the window gets rolled down and it's Sean McVay. And Myles has no idea who it is either. And Sean yells, "I didn't fucking sleep all week worrying about you." And I think the game plan reflected that. So bigger picture, is it worrisome that the defense hasn't been able to adjust and that opposing play callers and quarterbacks have adjusted to their attack-only style? Yes, in a way. Is it worrisome that this defensive line didn't have a sack in either road game? Sure. But you still have the guys and you trust them. And they got to just make the plays. It comes down to just make the plays. And again, this defense with Ward and with Garrett, we've seen what can do. Going all the way back to the Niners game in early October, I was not doubting this defense and looking at what's ahead now. So in terms of making the playoffs, everybody knows the Browns aren't winning the Super Bowl. But to waste this defense and to waste this schedule and not get there would be really disappointing. I think they will get there. I think Flacco will play well again, and I think they'll be able to reach their goal of mostly keeping him out of bad situations, protecting him, opening up the offense a little bit. And then just seeing you know, where it goes, building off of this. So beat CJ Beathard and beat the Bears should not be a big ask. And it's certainly not any kind of big ask if you're a real playoff team. And I think this team, I think the Browns have done a better job of building a more mature, more resilient version of things. And we will see how it goes. So, Julian, good question. What's it going to take for the Elijah Moore trade to be considered a positive move and not another reach? Well, to see the Elijah we've seen over the last month, you know, to see a guy that really does affect the game. He's awfully small. He just is. And that's a factor, right? Because this game is played in pads and this game is played over a 5-month season, right? But he's explosive. He's not elite explosive. But clearly how he was being used in the first year, or in the first part of the season, was not working. It was not working for him. It was not working for the Browns. It was not scaring anyone. Letting him launch, you know, launching it to him has worked. He has made some big plays. And so, you know, 12 targets and only 4 catches, that's not great. But the Browns have had a drop problem, and Elijah only has 2 all year. He's playing with more confidence now. And look, guys, in this league, for every team, there's always an element of looking to the future, even when you're in a playoff push, and even when only this Sunday counts, only the next drive, next play on Sunday counts, right? Stefanski's right about that. But Elijah Moore is extension eligible, and I'm not saying he's going to get that. But this receiving core, again, is not good enough. And Amari is due a lot of non-guaranteed money next year and will be 30. Cedric Tillman is a rookie. David Njoku has a lot of guaranteed money and is not guaranteed to catch the ball. So the Browns have to make decisions, and they would love to see Elijah Moore continue to play like he has. And he's, you know, he's under contract for next year at a low rate, and he's going to be on the team almost certainly. But they need to know where receiver ranks in their priority list. And if you want to be concerned about how badly they've screwed up the receiver evaluations, specifically in the draft, you can be. But if Elijah Moore turns out to be an above average player, it would be a significant boost for this offense now and going forward, because for the first half of the year, it looked like an awful acquisition. Kareem, the lead back. Seems like Ford has been moved to change of a pace guy. No, Kareem's not the lead back. Kareem has a certain number of carries in him. They did specifically keep Ford fresh. There is a question going forward of Ford is your feature back, and he's almost certainly not, but he's the feature back on this team right now. Pierre Strong's fresh, and he's fast. I think there might be more of a role for him, but it's been pretty clear they don't trust him except in a handful of carries. Yes, already addressed. Denzel Ward's going to play. He's been in practice all week. I think interference literally needs to be a strategy. That's fair. Here's one. This is an interesting question. Clinton M. Are people overrating Flacco's performance? He did good for being off the street, but only completed about 50% of his throws. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, look, in everything, we have a low bar here. In the way the quarterback interviews during the week, we have a low bar here. In being able to throw more than 12-yard passes, we have a low bar here. In any completion percentage, we have a low bar here. But man, he slings it. And he, you know, came in, mentioned all those things, which you certainly, again, no excuse league, but we always have excuses with this team and with that position specifically. And you could only think he gets better. He gets more comfortable. He certainly has limitations. And in various negative circumstances, he has not been very good for a number of years. But he gave a jolt to this offense that was undeniable. And even if you think there's only incremental gains in his comfort level, his completion percentage, what they can do in the offense, what they trust him to do on this practice field right now, translating that to Sunday when the script is over and when adjustments have to be made. So are we overrating it? I think that's a very fair question. And I think the goal, obviously, is to stay out of the situation where you need 312 non-pass interference yards and 3 touchdowns from Flacco. But the guy comes out of throwing in the backyard with his brother to only your 3rd multiple touchdown pass game of the year. It looks like an NFL offense, which is most important. You have an older team. You have a team that with high expectations, most of them justified to me, and you're in a playoff push. This is the guy. So we'll see. I'm not saying he can't get you beat because he can't. To me, this is the question. If Joe Flacco throws one interception every week, you have to live with it, right? Can you be good enough in the other areas to overcome it? And can it not be crippling? Because field position is going to be big in some of these games. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe the defense can have something to do. I don't think the Browns are scoring 24 or 30. But I also think it's going to be hard on the Jaguars to score. And even though Justin Fields is a different beast, as a running quarterback, that's given, like, I think 20 points is enough for the Browns to win these two games, right? Everybody thinks that. Been wrong before. Circumstances dictate how it goes. But that's got to be what it is. And you got to just expect that an overall C-plus, B-minus game from Flacco with a couple of big moments and no more than one turnover should be enough. That's what you have to say. How's Miles' shoulder feeling this week? We don't know. We don't talk to Miles until Friday afternoon. Miles gets every Wednesday off. He practiced. You know, the expectation last week that he was always going to be good. They gave him the extra day off just to be sure. But you know, Njoku didn't practice until this week. It's only notable with Amari Cooper because of concussion protocol. And him being on the practice field today says that he's not through it, but at a stage of concussion protocol where he is now has a chance to play. Whereas if he didn't practice today, that would have been unlikely. So it might go up to Sunday morning. We'll see what Stefanski says. We know that answer is nothing. But like your older defensive linemen, your older players in general are not practicing here. And that's been part of the issue with this team of quarterbacks coming in, never having thrown to these receivers and practice needing to matter. Right. But you know, you're managing all these guys. Every team is through this part of the year, specifically just trying to get them to Sunday and hope that you can hold up. So we'll see how that goes. I got to go back in here in just a minute, guys. Jack B, can this stretch to end the year dictate if Stefanski gets a contract extension or goes to 24 on his final year? It can. Should it? Is a different discussion, right? You know, obviously, I don't know what these owners are thinking on a lot of things, and I'm not going to speak for them. Kevin Stefanski's done a hell of a job this year, and even those who are quickest to point out his flaws and imperfections would have to say that. You know, the overall scope here is cloudy. You know, this is a team that's supposed to be in a Super Bowl window, and this is a team that's probably fucked over the long term because of the awful quarterback contract. Still has good players. Kevin Stefanski is a good coach. And has done well in these circumstances. And if you're the Haslams, you should, to me, want him to be your coach for the future, right? Does he want that? We would assume yes. Would now be the time to extend him, assuming they make the playoffs? Yes, but I don't know on the thinking there. And, you know, he deflects everything. He's not going to talk about it. He doesn't want any attention on him. He knows that the negative attention is going to be on him if they don't finish this playoff push, if they don't find a way to win three more after being at 7-3. So we'll see. You know, Pat, I'm not operating under 9 wins and in. I'm operating under 10 wins and in. And after the Houston game, we can reassess that. But, you know, I'm just saying you can't control, obviously, what's going on with the other teams. But you have to win these two home games. And if you do, you're probably in. And then we'll see. Nobody wants the last game to be one and done. Nobody wants that, you know, and that's before Jake Browning looked like an NFL quarterback on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. What happens on the roster after Flacco has 3 starts? That's a good question. Cause Wills will be coming back. Cam Mitchell will probably be back this week too. They don't currently have any spots. So when Wills comes back, they'll cut Leroy Watson, the backup tackle. You know, and everything else will just kind of be injury dependent, or they'll have to go to the bottom of the safety group or linebacker group and see kind of how that goes. So he can start off the practice squad. The practice squad protections have not been a thing for a long time. It's not ideal to have 2 different quarterbacks in a season starting off your practice squad, but it's the situation they're in, and ideal has long been out the window. So you kind of find a way. And all trust goes in Joe Flacco, who from his personal makeup and experience, 185 starts, you trust, you see the arm, and you trust, and you just hope that Amari and Denzel and Miles and the other guys are healthy. the more kicks go in than not. When there is a mistake, the other team doesn't run it back inside your 15, and you see what happens. So, you know, the Browns making the playoffs would be a success for the Browns. And so, therefore, these next two games, these next five games, specifically these next two quarters, it's all there for them to create a positive tone, to prove that they're adaptable, resilient, still good on defense, all of those things that we think they are. Make this a successful year and see if you can be really annoying to someone in that first weekend of the playoffs. But it starts with beating either C.J. Beathard or a less than 100% Trevor Lawrence. They have to do it, and I think they will. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll have multiple stories up on the site later today once we have these injury report statuses and all of that. Thank you guys for coming in. And again, I think the Stefanski extension talk, I think the Grant Delpit, Greg Newsom extension talk is all warranted. You know, what are you going to do at quarterback and at offensive tackle going forward? That's all. But, you know, right now, let's see what Joe Flacco does. Let's see specifically what Kevin Stefanski says about DeJuan Jones and Amari Cooper here over the next 40 minutes or so. And I appreciate you guys tuning in here, reading and all that stuff, and try to have it all covered. Talk to you Sunday after the game.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.